Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will be closing our study for the commentary in Quran chapter 5, the book of the table, Al-Ma'idah. And we found out in the end of our broadcast why Muhammad or Allah named chapter 5 by that title, the table. But let's first look at Quran chapter 5 and verse 87. And once again, when you read the Quran, if you are not familiar with what Allah meant by what he said, or we can say the true interpretation of these words of the verses of the Quran, you will never catch what is going on in this immoral cult, the cult of Islam. Lots of Muslims believe that Islam is pure, Islam is holy, and it is this and it is that. But this is a result of two things. Number one, they are ignorant of Islam. Or number two, they know Islam very well, but they are deceiving the people of the West concerning the teachings and the commands of Allah in the Quran. And today we have this example to help you, our dear audience, to know that Islam is not moral religion as Muslims claim. In Quran chapter 5 and verse 87, we read the following. O you who have believed, do not forbid the good that Allah made lawful to you, and do not transgress. Surely Allah does not love the transgressors. Once again, when you read the verse, you think that there's nothing wrong with the verse. There must be some good command, and Allah is telling the Muslim believers not to transgress. That is, not to live in any immoral way. You see? But let us look at the first portion of the verse, which Allah stated, O you who have believed, do not forbid the good that Allah made lawful to you. Notice here, number one, Allah is speaking to Muslim believers. That's why he said, O you who have believed. Now, what is the good thing which Allah made lawful for the Muslim believers, and why they forbid it for themselves? I could not imagine that in the Bible we see a command of something good for you or I to do, and then we say, no, we're not going to do that. This is unbelievable. This is not good. We're going to forbid it. That's exactly the case here in the Quran. If it is good in the Bible, nobody will forbid it for himself. But the problem is, what does Allah mean by the good which Allah made lawful for Muslims? And why Muslims forbade themselves from enjoying that good which Allah made lawful for them? And to understand the interpretation of that verse, we're going to go to Al-Bukhari. Al-Bukhari is one of the great Muslim scholars who collected the sayings of Muhammad, from which we learn about many of the interpretation of the verses of the Quran. So Al-Bukhari said that a man by the name Abdullah said, we used to invade with the Prophet of Allah, and we did not have women with us. So we asked the Apostle of Allah, what should we do so we can satisfy our sexual desires? And that is when Muhammad gave them that verse as a license, a special license, especially during the time of war. After all, these men are fighting for Allah. They are standing with Muhammad all the way, even to death. And they have to be able to enjoy themselves sexually. And that is when Allah gave them the license of marriage for fun. And if you do not know what is marriage for fun, marriage for fun is when a man marries a woman for a limited time and for a price. That is what we call in America prostitution. Prostitution is acceptable by Allah in the Quran. It is a license given by Allah to Muhammad to all the Muslim believers. And obviously, some of these Muslim believers do not want to do that because they know that's not a very moral thing to do. And that's why Allah said to them, Do not forbid the good that Allah made lawful to you. Allah, the God of Muhammad, made it lawful for the Muslim believers to have sexual relationship with prostitutes by giving that relationship a new name, marriage for fun. That is temporary marriage, and that is very immoral. That is not very godly. Once again, that's why some of the Muslim believers did not want to do it. But after all, Allah gives a command, and Muhammad approves the command. Do not forbid the good that Allah made lawful for you. I'm amazed that many Muslims in the world today do not know that that is a command of Allah in the Quran. That is a lawful thing Allah made for Muhammad and for the Muslim believers. That is to have a relationship with prostitutes. Almost all the people who lived in Muhammad days, not only the Jews and the Christians, but others know that this is adulterous relationship, not marriage. But since Allah made it lawful and Muhammad add the word marriage to it, marriage for fun, now Muslims do not see anything wrong with that. Now let me explain something very important, that Sunni Muslims do not practice this type of marriage because they say that Muhammad made it lawful, and then he made it unlawful, and then he made it lawful second time, and he made it unlawful second time, and then he made it lawful the third time, and then he made it unlawful for the third time, and he never made it lawful again. So Allah and Muhammad were in agreement to make prostitution lawful three times, but then Muhammad canceled it, and from that day until today, Sunni Muslims do not practice this type of marriage, marriage for fun. But believe it or not, until today, Shiites still practice that marriage. Shiites are roughly 15% or so of the Muslims. Now let's move on to the most amazing command given by Allah to Muslim believers for the purpose of keeping them Muslims. What do I mean by that? You see, Quran chapter 5 verse 101, Allah stated, "O you who have believed, do not ask about things which, if they were revealed to you, it would be harmful to you. And if you ask of it, when the Quran is sent down, it will be revealed to you. Allah will pardon you for this, and Allah is forgiving, forbearing." I always joke about it when I do my Saturday night broadcast, and I say 5101. What do I mean? You know, in America here, we have the Fifth Amendment. That is when people plead their fifth by not answering any questions. Now, since it is Quran chapter 5, that's why I always say 5, and then 101, that is the number of the verse. So you always remember 5101, that is when Allah taught the Muslim believers never to ask any question. And you may ask, why? Why can't Muslim believers ask questions? And the answer is given by Muslim scholars. As we know that Muhammad saw that his companions start asking many questions. Some of the questions he didn't have an answer. So for Muhammad to protect himself, he invented that verse in the Quran. That is when he came up with this good idea. Let's give Allah a chance to fix the problem for Muhammad about all these questions coming towards him, and he does not want to answer them. He stated, do not ask questions. And now it became Allah's words. That is, once again, when Allah said, "O you who have believed, do not ask about things which, if they were revealed to you, it would be harmful to you." Since these questions maybe bring harm to you, it is for your own good not to ask about it. Therefore, you have a joyful, peaceful life. That's why Muslims from Muhammad days until today never question the Quran, never question the teaching of Muhammad, never question any Islamic ideology. And that's why they are still Muslims. The opposite of that is what we see in Christianity. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was bragging about a group of people who were called the Bereans. And that's what we read in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Notice, what does the Apostle Paul say in verse 11? He said, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." They were digging in the scripture. They were searching in the scripture. They were asking questions like what we do in every Sunday when we do Bible studies. Because in Bible study, we ask questions. When we ask questions, we hear the answers. When we know the answers, we grow in our faith. And that's, by the way, a direct command of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, as we read about that in the book of John chapter 5 and verse 39. That's when Jesus said, "You search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me."
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now we come up to the last portion of our study of Quran chapter 5 concerning why the Quran chapter 5 was even named with that title, Al-Ma'idah, the table. And that's why we have to read what is written in verses 112 to 115. When the Hawariyin, that is the disciples of Isa, son of Mary, said, "O Isa, son of Mary, can your Lord send down on us a Ma'idah," that is a non-Arabic word which means table, "from the heaven?" He, that is Isa, son of Mary, said, "Fear Allah, if you were believers." They said, "We desire to eat from it and to have our heart assured and know that you indeed have told us the truth, and we will be witnesses of it." Isa, son of Mary, said, "O Allah, our Lord, send down a table on us from the heaven that it become a festival for us, to the first of us and to the last of us, and a sign from you, and provide for us, and you are the best of the providers." Allah said, "Surely I will send it down on you. So whoever among you becomes an infidel after that, so surely I will torment him, a torment I will not torment anyone of the world." And what is the story here is about? It's about the disciples of Isa, which Muhammad calls the Hawariyin, want to make sure that Isa told them the truth. They want to have assurance in their heart that they know for sure that there is food somehow in heaven, that they will not be starving. They want to taste some kind of food Allah have in heaven, so they know their future will be okay. Sound like a joke, isn't it? But that is the reality of the writings of the Quran. It's a joke. Now, let me tell you some of the commentaries of Muslim scholars on these four verses. So it was said in the hadith that Muhammad said that the table came down from heaven, and on it there was bread and meat. And the disciples of Isa were ordered that they will not betray and they will not keep some of the food for the following day. So they betrayed and they kept some of the food for the following day. That's why Allah cursed them and made them monkeys and pigs. And that is given by the great scholar Al-Tirmidhi. Now let's read what Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, said about these four verses. Ibn Abbas said that Isa asked his disciples to fast 30 days. And then they can ask Allah whatever they wish, and Allah will give them. So they fasted 30 days. And when the 30 days were over, they came to Isa and they said, if we have done any work to anybody, and we finish our work for that somebody, he will give us a meal. So they asked Isa that Allah would send on them a table. So the angels came by the table, carrying the table down from heaven. And on the table, there were 7 pieces of bread and 7 whales. Yes, he used the word hoot, which is, well, he obviously meant fish. Until they put that table between their hands. So they all ate from it. All the people from the first to the last. And it was said that that table came down between 2 clouds. And the color of the table was red. And 1,300 people ate from it. Most of those people were sick. Was leprosy. Those who could not walk. Those who could not speak. And other sicknesses. And when they ate from that table, they were all healed. And that is the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir for Quran chapter 5 verses 112 through 115. And believe me, my friends, there are plenty of contradictions given by all those so-called Muslim scholars in their interpretation to that passage. And when you hear their interpretation, or I call it fabrication, you can't help but to laugh. As when you hear Muslim scholars say, and it was said, and it was said, and it was said, with different opinions, you know for sure that these are not scholars. They're just fabricators who are making up some meaning for the verses of the Quran. The language of these verses, Quran 5, 112 to 115, is a great evidence. That's not how God speaks. That's not how our Lord and our Savior Jesus speaks. That's not even logic for the disciples of Jesus to tell Jesus, yes, we need to eat from the food to make sure that there is good food in heaven. You know, we need to make sure that we like the food. What if you don't like the food? You just die and go to hell because you don't like the food of heaven? It's so ridiculous. Now we know from the scripture that Jesus performed great miracles. That one here was not one of them. Because if you're talking about the Lord's Supper, as maybe Muhammad saw some drawing of Jesus sitting on the table with all his disciples and eating the Last Supper, I'm sorry, that supper, as we know from the scripture, was actually prepared by the disciples of Jesus. They bought the vegetables, they bought the food, they fixed the last meal, which is known as the Passover meal. Nothing came from heaven. Now, if you're talking about the miracle of Jesus feeding the thousands of people with the 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish, that is what we read in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. That is a different account. And there we started with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They did not come from heaven, but they were actually taken from a little boy. Then Jesus prayed over them and they multiplied. And there was enough food for thousands of people. Maybe Muhammad was talking about the table which came from heaven in the book of Acts chapter 10. But that was not a table. It was actually a blanket. And there was no fish and bread, but all kind of animals and creatures, the clean and the unclean. And it did not come down on Peter one time, but actually 3 times. Where God gave the command to Peter, rise and eat. And Peter, in each one of these times, he said, forbid me, Lord, from doing that. Why? Because I will never eat unclean. And what was the message of the vision which the apostle Peter lived in the book of Acts chapter 10? It's very simple. Do not call the Gentiles unclean. Jesus died on the cross for the Jews as much as he died on the cross for the Gentiles. And up to that day, Peter would not minister or talk or touch or be in the presence of the Gentiles. But after God gave him that vision, he was sent to Cornelius and his household. A Gentile man who, when he heard the truth of the gospel from Peter, he became a believer himself and his household. And then Peter asked those who traveled with him, the Jews who will normally will not meet and talk with Gentiles, if there anyone will forbid them for being baptized after believing in Jesus. What a great joy in Cornelius' home for those Gentiles who were considered by the Jews as unclean became now part of the body of Christ, the church. So I don't know. Where did Muhammad come up with this four verses about the disciples of Isa asking Isa to send them a table from heaven with food in it? It was not Isa himself, but they asked if his Allah was able to send a table from heaven. And he did, after Allah gives a warning. If any of them would put some of this food aside or betray, they will be punished. And that's why, as we read in the great Muslim scholar Al-Tirmidhi interpretation, they actually did that. And they were cursed and they became monkeys and pigs. Something we never heard about anywhere besides that verse of the Quran. Because we know that Jesus had 12 disciples, and the 12 disciples made it all the way until the cross time. Judas betrayed Jesus and he killed himself, and the rest were killed by the Jews and by the Romans. And John was taken to an island of Patmos. So I do not know which one is the one who turned to a monkey or a pig. Or the fabrication about the healing of the 1,300 people who were sick and they were healed after eating from that table. That number does not exist in the Bible. The information does not match with the realistic messages of the Bible. Neither God or Jesus nor the disciples speak such sentences which Muhammad claimed. But somehow, now that is the reason why Allah named Quran chapter 5 to be the book of the table. Because there, the greatest miracle of all, which was performed with the imagination of Muhammad and those who are called scholars of Islam, was fulfilled. And that is a ridiculous reason for why we have names in the Quran for chapters. Because they are built on simply a pure lie. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.